Blog Talk Radio.
When the environment turns, floods are ravaging Mississippi, while extensive droughts are occurring out west. The areas in between are held in the sweaty grip of a heat wave. In Europe, hundreds of people die from the excessive heat. Climate change, sometimes called global warming, is a reality. Meanwhile, politicians who poo-pooed the idea of climate change now sound incredibly stupid. They sounded like apologists for industrialists as the earth shivers. It also seems like political semi-solutions achievements and promises of lessened environmental damage are too little and much too late. Similarly, scientific predictions of ice melt were so conservative that they badly understated the problems facing human populations. Simply put, capitalism kills. The unrestrained search for unlimited profits have endangered the air, water, temperatures, and water levels around the world. And human populations are facing survival threats that can't be met by America's formidable war machine. Perhaps the planting of millions of trees and human habitats, green spaces, could delay the coming environmental carnage, perhaps. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Reach your hand up, tell me if heaven's gonna be here. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a call that Jesus called. I've said a story has never been told. And now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your life. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and you are in tune to this first month, September, our first edition of New Day for the month of September. And, of course, many are focusing on the Labor Day weekend. And so we want to make it very clear that we will no longer embrace or observe or celebrate or whatever you want to call it, so-called Labor Day, particularly given the fact that our ancestors were forced into brutal enslavement, brutal labor. And so we can never look again at Labor Day in the same context. And when I say we, I'm talking about those who embraced the We Charge Genocide 21 project. There's no way that we can look at labor in the same kind of way as we did when we were children. We have a lot more understanding today about such things. At any rate, moving right along, we started off, of course, tonight hearing Mumia Abu-Jamal talk about the environmental crisis. And that's one of the topics that we're going to talk about tonight, and that is, of course, what's going on in Mississippi. As Nina Simone would say, Mississippi, goddamn. Well, needless to say again, we are going to focus on tonight. Hold on one moment. Let me get rid of that sound in the background there. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do tonight is talk a little bit about what's going on again in Mississippi with the water situation. And not just that, but how it's just so very interesting in this day and age that we're seeing so many disasters all over the country. It's not coincidental. At any rate, I'm going to talk about that a little later on, a little more about that. But also want to remind everyone that this is National Sickle Cell Awareness Month. And one of the things that MWM is committed to doing as a part of its Black Print Agenda 25 is to bring greater attention to sickle cell anemia, which tends to affect our people more than anyone else. So it behooves us to say something, do something more about that since it affects us. And so, again, for this entire month, we're going to be talking more about sickle cell and, of course, prepare you for what is coming in terms of the upcoming MWM 25 reunion. We have a major sickle cell anemia campaign that we will be launching for the entire year. As we take MWM on the road, starting in January, we are planning to visit 25 cities throughout the U.S., bringing the MWM Universal Movement into the U.S., and then after that, we're going abroad. We're going to be going into one of the CARICOM countries next year, and then following that, we will be going into Africa. So we've got a lot that we're going to be sharing with you very, very soon. At any rate, tonight, we're going to talk more about the Recharge Inside 21 project. We just recently began to move into the next phase of the Boots on the Ground. For those that do not know, we have rescheduled or restructured what we were going to do this weekend with the summit. It turned out to be pre-summit, and we are moving everything into December. So a lot of what we were going to do this weekend, we actually have moved it into December and getting ready for International Human Rights Day. And so we plan to do something major in New York during the week of December the 8th, I believe, through the 10th. And again, International Human Rights Day is, in fact, December the 10th. So we're planning to take the signatures, our first signatures to the United Nations, just as a formal intro with our letter of intent. So starting on Monday, you will be able to download how you can sign on to the letter of intent, indicating that you support the We Charge Genocide platform and you support the letter of intent. This is not the petition yet. This is phase one of preparing to submit a formal petition to the United Nations charging the United States government and others with genocide, crimes against humanity. Okay, so again, we'll be telling you more about that as we proceed a little later on tonight. But again, starting on Monday, you will be able to download the document that you can sign on to as we prepare to go into the United Nations in December to at least begin the submission of the paperwork that is required for what it is that we are preparing to do. Okay, so let's see. The other thing we want to talk about, and we're going to open up the mic for you all on this. I don't know if you heard about Black woman ends up dead while in police custody. I mean, you know, why is there not being much said about that? That's actually a rhetorical question, because I already know the answer to that, and I'm sure some of you do as well. But in case you don't know the answer to that, unfortunately, when it comes to black women, it doesn't get the type of notoriety or the type of, shall we say, recognition, for lack of a better word, than other things do. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, with that said, let me see. I wanted to check something real quick. Okay, there we go. Okay, I was trying to find the clip that I had initially found that I was going to share about the incident, but I will pull that up later on. But at any rate, again, we have to talk more about mental issues, family. There is a lot going on with black folks all over the country, and it has been for a while. But does it seem that for whatever reason, the COVID thing seems to maybe be exasperating some of the situations that we are dealing with? I think we might have to look at that a little closer. And so, again, we are going to talk more about mental health as we talk about reparatory justice. And with that said, a little later on, we are going to be talking with Dr. George Love, who is going to be actually coming here to Philadelphia later on next month as a part of the MWM reunion. We are getting ready to deal with some optimal health and wellness kinds of things. Okay, so those are some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. But again, family, we want to begin to look at internal reparations. This is one of the things that we covered yesterday with our session for the We Charge Genocide. We had as our presenter Dr. Musa Dan Fodio, who is an internationally acclaimed, well-known acclaimed international lawyer. Okay, and also human rights. He actually studied under or with the mentor to Malcolm X, to Yusuf Klee. And so we had him joining us last night. It was an excellent, excellent presentation and a lot of good information. So with that said, we are really gearing up to advance in a lot of areas. So when you hear the We Charge Genocide 21 project, you will also know that it's also about nation building. So unlike a lot of what you hear with reparations, we are literally also preparing to make certain that we are able to obtain nationhood, right? So we're going to be telling you more about that. Yesterday's session put us in that kind of mode and capability. And so, again, we are getting ready to develop a new nation, or nations, shall I say. And with that said, that means the We Charge Genocide 21, that's just one phase of a major, major project for self-determination, self-governance, real justice, and liberation. But again, some of that has to start with us, meaning before we go into these arenas and go into these courts and so forth and so on, what about the reparatory justice for ourselves? So we basically say that health is major. Health is one of the first steps to real wealth. So again, tonight we're going to talk with Dr. George Love, who again is an Oriental doctor who also is well-trained in the area of acupuncture. And actually, we're going to be doing sessions so that we can begin to train our people in order to have our own everything, including our own capability to service our people when it comes to health issues. So later on in the night's program, we're going to talk a little more about mental health. But right now, we're going to get ready to talk about holistic health that is more in the context of physical, but also to some degree, spiritual. So when we talk about holistic health, we have to look at the whole aspect of well-being. So I'm hoping that this is Dr. Love in queue right now. Let me check to see. Okay, looks like he is in queue. Wonderful. So what we're going to do, family, is get ready. You know, you might want to take some notes. Again, Dr. Love is going to be joining us next month when we do our first natural hair and body care expo and also holistic health and healing, optimizing our health and well-being. So let's go to our live line and let's talk with Dr. George Love. Let me see right there. Hold on 1 minute. Okay, great. Greetings, Dr. Love. How are you this evening? Uh-oh, maybe that wasn't Dr. Love. Hold on, let me check something. Maybe. Okay. All right. Nope, that was not him. Okay, so let me do this. I'm going to check on something. Okay, what I'm going to do, family, while I check on Dr. Love, I thought that was him in queue, I'm going to open up the mic for you all and ask what is, let's see if that's him there. Okay, give me 1 minute, family. I'm just checking on something here. Okay. Give me 1 minute. Let me see. Nope, that was not him. Okay, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open up the mic. And again, any of the areas that I mentioned, the crisis in water in Mississippi, also, of course, with the black woman ended up being dead in Georgia while being in police custody. Let's talk about that briefly. Let's get some comments and some thoughts on that from you. So let's open up the mic to do an open mic. And we're going to go to caller at 9498. Caller at 9498. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day. 9498.
Hello, Dr. Filet. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Brother Ray Ray, how are you?
Oh, okay. I got the computer on and the radio. So that's probably why.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, last week, sorry, family, I'm dozing off, and next thing I know, I can't take a nap I got to stay up, because if I lay down, it's all, and I'm listening to the program, and oh boy. But I didn't hear about the women in police custody.
I do know
a gentleman was, the police shot the gentleman, in California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he was supposed to have some kind of weapon in his hand. So a lot of these things is coming up now during the midterm elections and out of the clear blue sky, you know, massive shootings again. The only difference I see is you don't have the Black Lives Matter people running around, because they're in the mix.
Right. Well, you know, they run into so many problems, Brother Ray Ray, with the money thing, that they can't really say much anymore right now.
Yeah, because, well, they've been exposed, because now their people is in. And now their people is in ever since they pushed Trump out. Their people is in, so you haven't seen them. Nowhere, Soros and the Open End Society and this and that. So, and you know, Mississippi is just a shame, because they're throwing money all over the place for everybody else, and black folks involved, just forget about it. But the Democrats always say, "Vote for me and I'll set you free."
Yeah, no doubt. It just seems like we just. We just don't want to learn, Brother Ray Ray. But
And black folks still saying, yeah, okay.
Stay right there, no, because I want you to hear this brief report, because you said you didn't hear about the sister. So I'm going to play this clip for you to kind of help everybody to get a little. And again, I asked the question, how come folks didn't hear about this, as if I don't know?
They knew she was having a mental health emergency, so they called 911 and deputies arrived from the Hancock County Sheriff's Office. Hours later, Greer was in a coma, and less than a week after that, she was dead. Officials say she fell out of the back of a moving police car.
And if nobody don't realize what I'm going through, or what we're going through, feel sorry for y'all, because we love her regardless, unconditionally.
Greer's parents say their daughter suffered from schizophrenia and was speaking erratically. Her family says they had called 911 in the past and gotten EMS assistance, but this time officers detained her.
They thought she was going to get some medical help, not be treated like a rag doll.
The Hancock County Sheriff's Office is not commenting, but according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, after deputies put Greer in the patrol car, they never closed the door before driving off. Officials say two deputies tried to put Greer in the car on the rear driver's side, but she lay on the ground, refusing. So one of the deputies walked around and opened the rear passenger door. Once Greer was in the car, the deputy mistakenly thought he closed that door, and they drove off. Investigators found that Greer was placed in the back seat, handcuffed in the front of her body with no seatbelt.
Did we trust them and that we thought that they were going to do the right thing and take her in? And if I thought that wasn't going to be, I would never call them.
If they had done their job, Ben would be alive today.
Greer was a mother of three-year-old twins. Tonight, her family is calling for an independent autopsy. Wayne Alexander, NBC News.
Okay. There you go, Brother Ray Ray.
Sound like the same wording in all the other incidents.
Yep.
Same wording.
23 years of age, mother of twins.
Mhm. Same wording. I wonder what if she was on mental medication, I wonder what it was.
Yeah. But see, again, this points out the work that we have ahead of us. I mean, you know, we got so many issues to deal with, but we've got to start focusing on what our actual needs are, because this is like, I can't even remember, I can't even count anymore how many incidents in the past couple of years that have been related to, you know, some kind of mental crisis. And these police are not prepared, they're not trained to deal with it. Right. Because, you know, that's what happened here with the brother Walter. I think it's Walter Williams, I think his name was. He had a mental situation and ended up dead.
Right.
Yep. So
you never talk about the medication that the medication that the doctors is giving these people. That's sometimes you go to the store. And you see a cat just going crazy, smoking cigarette after cigarette.
Right.
You know, I went to the restaurant, and the guy comes in there, young guy, messed up off of medication and smoking medical marijuana mixed with, no matter what, he had pants falling off him, dirty. Slippers on. So he buys something, and then he only got money for one chicken wing, so I said, give him two chicken wings. And then when I go outside with my stuff, going back home with the bus, the guy's out there, I said, brother, he's whacked out.
Wow.
So
wow.
You know, it's a combination of stuff that they on. And
sure.
I don't know, but they never talk about the medication, you know.
Right, right. Sure.
My nephew, his friend gave him some PCP mixed in with the gummy bear, the new stuff what they put in these candies, and his homeboy.
What?
And he was a good kid. He played ball, and his homeboy gave him a little piece of that because they putting it in the gummy bears, in the candy. He ain't never been right, and they got him on medication, and he was smoking that dust and taking his clothes off, and mother couldn't handle him, and he'd act all right, and next thing you know, he'd start spazzing out. And then, you know, you can't handle him. And when you take the medication, he's all calmed down. And I tried to get my sister to bring him down to the Maggie's group. No, he just I don't know. I don't have no answer for all this stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
You know. Speaking I do know one thing.
Yeah.
I do know one thing. When I was living on the other side of the coin, before I gave up the low life of, you know, messing with that stuff out there, you don't have, and this is the illegal stuff, you just don't feel no pain.
Mm.
You jump in anybody's face when you amped up.
Mm. Wow.
And could get beat up and don't even feel it.
I asked this question earlier, Brother Ray Ray, maybe you and anyone else that has a thought on it. Have you noticed, or is it me? It seems that in this past year, stuff has heightened. And I'm just kind of thinking that COVID thing, the reaction or the response or the impact of COVID or that whole cycle, that whole drama and all that went with it, to me, it has exasperated things. It has, you know, just heightened everything. The murder rate is up in various cities. And, I mean, just behavior in itself is just totally, is very different now. And I've noticed this since COVID. What is your observation, Brother Ray?
The crazy murder rate and the shootings and the globalists are in. You know, I listen to Brother Darren a lot, and then I try to connect with a whole bunch of other people who they claim is conspiracy, but sometimes people don't go there. But all these massive shootings is once they get rid of the Second Amendment, they're gonna have the people ready to give up their liberties in the disguise of safety. You know, so they tell you, especially in New York with this mayor and the governor and the Democrats in there, they tell you, well, he shouldn't have been let out in the first place. The only problem with that, all the people I know that go to jail or get arrested, and all of a sudden, they even stated that a lot of the DAs and a lot of these major urban cities are on the payroll of George Soros.
Yeah.
And they are being told to let these people out. Now, I don't know too many people, especially old time, that get let out and then commit another crime as soon as they get out. That's just strange.
Yeah.
And it all started happening. I mean, and the new thing now, they shouldn't have been let out.
Yeah.
So now it's going to come down when they set everything up, if they're able to do it. is when they get you, you ain't coming out. You see, when you do get locked up, you ain't coming out, because I ain't never seen this, the way this stuff is going on, and nobody seems to be able to control it. They're jumping on police. Now, the thing is, they had a big, bruisy black cop smack the shit out of, excuse my language, smack the mess out of, they're involved in arresting the cat. And the young lady just runs up on the big, burly officer, and he decks her. So everybody's up in arms. Now, saying he was justified for knocking her out. Then they had the mayor come on. Sure, you could do this and do that, but you ain't supposed to this and that and this and that. Now, the black police officer gets no respect. I don't care who he is. Because if a white boy would have told her to step back, she wouldn't have never rolled up on him. She would have stood her distance and took out her phone, and they would have locked the kid up. But being that it was a black cop, she just rolled up on him. White boy tell you to get back, you're going to get back. So he gets no respect on that side. Now, what if it was a little old Becky, old white woman, with their arrogance? He wouldn't have put his hand on her. Because you're not allowed to touch white folk. You see, you're not allowed to touch white folk. And I would have liked to known if he would have smacked some little white woman who happened to just jump into something, would David would have been saying that. So clearly the black cop has no respect, because she jumped right on him and hit him. And she was soaking wet, 90 pounds, and he smacked the mess out of her.
And all these
people saying, yeah, she was justified. Yeah, well, you're not supposed to get in the police procedure, this and that.
Right. Well,
is black folks doing us in now in New York? Is black folks doing us in blackface? Because he wouldn't have did that to a white girl, white woman. But he ain't got no respect. And the white cop, when they say back up, people back up. They back up quick. And all they do is pull out their phones and video. So she didn't respect
my brother,
him anyway, so she rolled up on him.
We're going to move on to another topic.
I know Amos's book, Black on Black Violence. Nobody never talks about that, and he gets into it. So that's just my two cent on it, whether it means anything or not.
All right, now.
And this, this
brother,
week at the Mackey's group, this week at the Mackey's group, Brother Mike Graves will be speaking. He's going to let me know his topic. And being that we're coming in with this Labor Day while city workers are still on the sideline and everybody having fun, and labor done sold them down the river and won't protect them, you know. So he's going to be speaking. And I'll probably get that out Tuesday. Being that tomorrow's a holiday, you know. Okay.
All right, my brother. Well, thank you for your thoughts.
Okay.
Oh, one other quick thing, and then we're going to go back. Caller at 2640. We're going to come to you next. But one other quick comment from you, Brother Ray Ray. Since it's Sister Keisha, she says she already heard about it. So Nigeria has, of course, made it, they put a ban. You cannot be on Nigerian TV. They are no longer allowing white folks to be in the ads on Nigerian TV. I thought that was precious.
Well, I wonder what the CIA got to say about that.
Oh, listen. I mean, you got to love this one. Got to love it. So now in Nigeria, you no longer will see white folks on ads on TV. Yeah, that's pretty gutsy. Oh, that's
well, they're putting
things,
as Dr. Lewis says in his lectures, they putting things together in the motherland, and the Europisoid are not calling the shots no more, so Africa is definitely on the move.
Hey, and these Nigeria trying to be, that's for sure, because that was definitely an indication.
You know, according to Doc, they setting up their own currency, and the Yankee dollar is falling, and, you know, Africa is making some moves, but you never hear it on media.
Yes, indeed. All right, my brother.
They're
definitely making
some moves.
Thank you for your comments. And definitely, folks, make sure you check out the Mackey Study Group this week with Brother Mike.
Did you get my donation for $2 Tuesday?
You know what? I got to check and see. I haven't checked it this week, but if I'm sure it's there, and I definitely appreciate it.
Okay. All right, good.
All right, my brother. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
That's my $0.02 on it, whatever it's worth. Hey. Okay.
Appreciate that. All right, family, let's go to caller. You are at 2640. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. 2640. Okay. Gone. All right, let's go to 9324. 9324, your mic is open. Welcome
to the
segment.
Jeff Embers, New World here.
Hey, brother, New World.
Jeff Embers.
How you been?
I'm
good, my brother.
I'm alive and kicking,
good.
And I'm going to keep it that way because we got too much work to do.
You know I know, brother. You know I know.
I'm not going to be long. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to address the questions as well as issues with some solutions. And as I said, not going to be long. So I'm saying, first of all, you were talking about the woman who was killed in police custody. Black men and women has never been a priority because of our lackadaisical acknowledgement of these kinds of problems, which are consistent. And our response is also lackadaisical. So if you want something better than you had before, you got to do something you've never done before, better than you've ever done it. If we could just take our humanity back, I guarantee you it would make a heck of a lot of difference. But it seems like we care less than the oppressors or the colonizers do. So that has to change, and then you'll get something better than what we've gotten in the past. This is what we refer to. I told some young men I was performing with many, many years ago. They wrote a song called Uncivil War, and I thought it was brilliant for them to realize that, because many of us haven't realized that war is not possible for it to be civil because of the war, right?
Right.
Yeah, so the masters haven't figured that out yet. We ain't gonna wait on them. It takes too long. Anyway, what I told them is, not only is it uncivil, what we're facing right now is what I referred to at that point, which was about 30, 40 years ago, is multi-level war. Please be aware of that. I'm gonna say it again. We are involved in a multi-level war. We're being attacked from thousands of perspectives simultaneously. And relative to what you were saying about that, the increase of incidents during COVID, it's part of a deliberate strategy, okay? The devils keep score. Why people don't? We think, well, I'm a baller. I can drop that three-pointer, I can slam dunk, I can drive the lane. Okay, but when you ask for the score, they tell you 85 and nothing, their favor, because we didn't keep score. And this is what we have to do. We've got to stop sleeping at the wheel. I'm so tired of talking to young folks. Every time you tell them, talk to them, they pimps, players, gangsters, thugs, and hustlers. And I'm saying, dude, how could you choose something so useless this late in the war? Try to be purposeful. If nothing else, try to be purposeful. That ain't going to help us now, one doggone bit, but every time you look up somebody attempting it. So we don't want to address that, but these are our problems, and we have to stop them. Relative to meds, we must study the side effects. I've been telling veterans this for years. they keep wanting to believe, and I've been saying belief is the worst problem among us ever. We need to move to knowledge. Without knowledge, you dead already. I always say you pre-screwed before the orgy. If you are a believer, okay, belief is for fools. If you are a believer, you're like a virgin in a whorehouse, and you're pre-screwed before the orgy. So anyway, this is what we have to understand. What are the side effects of these medications these devils are giving us? We don't take the time to ask questions intelligently, and if we don't, we set ourselves up. Matter of fact, we are complicit in our own genocide. And I wish we would stop that, but they have to hear me first, don't they? So I don't want to be talking too crazy. The brother was talking about what we know as the unwritten rule or the program. Black officers know what the rule is relative to dealing with white people. That's why he damn knocked his sister out, because this is how we roll. We are 21st century slave-minded individuals. I call us pet ends. And if we don't come to understand this and do something to change it, we're guaranteed to be further victimized and be complicit again in our own genocide. Now, what I'd like to take a minute to talk about is the veteran involvement in the We Charge Genocide campaign.
Right.
The We Charge Genocide campaign needs you black men. If you are listening, if you know a veteran, if you are a veteran, if there's a veteran anywhere in your close proximity, please get them involved with the We Charge Genocide campaign. You need to, and we need you, to be involved in this, because I'm working on a documentary called The Mistreatment of Black Veterans, Then and Now, because they have taken pride in this, probably a normal part of America's program or lifestyle, is to treat us like trash because we continue taking it. I'd like to start gathering the stories of these veterans. We need to know the hell you caught that you have normalized. We need to know what these things are. We need to discuss it so we can document it, because it's been dealt with as if it's normal, and it's not. These are crimes against humanity that we have accepted and normalized. We must stop this. Please stop this. Okay? We must teach people how to treat us. And up to this point, we've accepted their negative treatment like it was normal. It's not. And I really do want, I cracked up when you told me what Nigeria chosen to do. I said, I love it. Now, watch the psychological benefits that are going to occur in Nigeria because of what they've done. Feel me? Hello? Sis?
Right. Yeah,
hello?
I got you. Can you hear me?
I said, watch the psychological benefits in Nigeria's population, or people who are watching Nigerian television, because you got these Europeans out of your face. Because your programming is like Funkadelic said, like we've been zapped into a permanent nod by Sir Noel Devoid of Funk.
Right, that's right.
So we must wake up and notice the psychological improvements in Nigerian behavior simply because you got the devil out of your face. Get the funk out of my face. Get your funk out your face. And you got to do that. Anyway, I took enough time. I love y'all. Stay on this mission, y'all. Help Empress Chi help you. We need you. You need us. We all we got. Ain't nobody coming to save you, y'all. Please know that this sister is fighting hard. She's by herself. Don't leave her out there. If you are a man, if there's any bit of man left in you, you must not leave our sisters out there on the front line fighting for you. You need to stand beside her, if not in front of her. I love y'all.
I love you, my brother. And listen, you're going to still hang out with me in a couple of weeks, because...
Whenever you call me, you know how I roll. Don't be playing with me.
And listen, I want folks to know that we get ready to make a serious move, a serious statement, because the brother just mentioned about our black veterans, being many of them have been homeless at the coming home. And so we're going to make some serious statements about that. Here in Philadelphia, they have properties that are just sitting. Other cities, they're just sitting. We want some of these properties. So we get ready to do a camp out in front of one of those properties that we want. And so Brother New World's going to be joining me, hopefully some other folks.
Sure enough.
Pam's going to be coming out. We're getting ready to do a weekend kind of right in front of the building. We're going to be right there for a couple of days, a sleep out, or whatever you want to call it. So we're going to keep y'all posted on that. But that's coming in a couple of weeks.
Yes, ma'am. Calling all veterans to help us help you.
Yep. That's right. We're going to point out how we have black veterans that need housing. You got properties that these people just let be blighted so the developers could come. So we're getting ready to make a statement and let people see that this has got to change, and we are going to make an action to raise the question as to why and how these cities are allowing properties to just go, become blighted, and then, of course, the developers come and take them. So,
quick statement, Empress.
Yep.
Quick statement. Veterans.
Go ahead.
A homeless veteran is a crime against humanity. I'm going to say it again. A homeless veteran is a crime against humanity. Please, step
right.
up, help us help you. If you won't, you have no reason to complain about anything. Shut up, sit down, and get out the way. Real work has to be done. We need you to help us help you. Love you, Queen. I mean, Empress.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
No,
right,
thank you. And
course.
Love you far more. Keep up that work, girlfriend.
You know that's right.
God, we got
another
choice. All
right, Brother New World. All right, now. All right, family. Needless to say, that was Brother New World up in the New York area, along, of course, with Brother Ray Ray. New York's in the house tonight. All right, listen, we're going to go to caller at 2640. Oh, I think, did I go to you before? Hopefully you're going to say something this time. 2640, your mic is open. Okay. Still nothing. I don't know if it's because there's some technical difficulties or what, but I'm not hearing you, 2640. All right. So we'll try again another time. Listen, family, what we're going to do right now is I want to share something with you, and that is we've talked about over the course of the past months, couple of months, the fact that there are a lot of missing black women and girls all over the country. Well, guess what? Came up with something very recently where some body parts are being sold. So I want you to kind of check this out. Hold up. Let's see if I can pull this clip up. Trying to play this clip, family. Bear with me. It's not coming in. Okay, let's see if it happens now. Okay, I'll try to pull it up later. But there is a story here in Pennsylvania, as a matter of fact, with, hold on, I'm still trying to pull it up. Shucks. For some reason, it is not. Of course it isn't, because I'm trying to play it. All right, I'll come back to it later. But here in Pennsylvania, there was a man attempting to buy some stolen body parts. Yep. And I was trying to play the clip for you, but it's not letting me play it for some strange reason. I'll try again a little later on. But my point is, why is there so many black missing girls, women and girls in particular, and once again, there's very little being said or done about it? What's up with that? Why is that now just something that we just don't even want to talk about anymore that we were before anyway, but, you know, definitely not now when it's increasing. That's the point that I'm making. It's increasing to the degree where here in Philly and in the tri-state area, well, in Pennsylvania, that is, we're getting, like, reports. If not daily, it's up to, like, six a week of missing either black women and girls. So, again, why is there so little being said about that? All right, family, so listen. We were waiting for Dr. Joyce Love to call in. I don't know what has happened. And I've been trying to reach him, but let's see if I can get this clip moving again. We were trying to play that clip, and it's still not letting me play it. And by the way, y'all know there was a white boy that was trying to buy these body parts, right?
So here we go. I have it. Check this out.
Very unusual, and it's something that I'll probably never see again.
In this home on Enola Drive in July, police say they found 5-gallon buckets filled with human brains, a heart, a head, and many more body parts. This is the man who police say was buying them, Jeremy Pauley. A month earlier, police say they first came to this house after a complaint about body parts being sold online. And Pauley said he was a collector of oddities. He said the human skulls he had were legally bought.
And indicated that, hey, these are things that, this is my business, this is what I do, this is what I sell. And it appeared at that point in time, at least the items we knew about at that point.
Okay. Well, it stopped for some reason.
Very unusual, and it's something that I'll probably never see again.
In this home on Enola Drive in July, police say they found 5-gallon buckets filled with human brains, a heart, a head, and many more body parts. This is the man who police say was buying them, Jeremy Pauley. A month earlier, police say they first came to this house after a complaint about body parts being sold online. And Pauley said he was a collector of oddities. He said the human skulls he had were legally bought.
And indicated that, hey, these are things that, this is my business, this is what I do, this is what I sell. And it appeared at that point in time, at least the items we knew about at that point.
Okay, for some reason it's stopping. But y'all got it. Y'all get the gist of what's going on. The dude was buying body parts online even. How do you do that? Brains? So we thought that this was like some, like, you know, secret, or, you know, they weren't really showing it or conveying it. It was something being done behind the scenes or whatever. And I'm sure it is. But guess what? Nope. They're also doing it right before our eyes, selling stuff online, body parts online. Anyway, like to know y'all thoughts about that. Let's go to caller 9324. 9324, your mic is open. Oh, you
that's
back again?
Far from new.
World.
Yes, ma'am. That's far from new. It's been going on for decades on end. We foolishly brushed it under the carpet, which was not wise. So for them, it was like a going out of business sale. That's always been the greatest commodity on the market. Is selling body parts. And it started with homeless people, because if the devil has your information, all your medical information, if a rich devil needs a body part, they can sort through the supermarket of homeless veterans, because they check to see if you're getting mail. If you're not getting mail, that means no one knows that you're there or where, and nobody cares. So they can take your body parts, and all of a sudden a homeless person disappears. So this is not new. It's moved to another level because, like I said, they use your body parts. They don't have a love for us. They have a use for us. You know, like toilet paper? And when you finish with the toilet paper, you know what to do with it. And I'm saying this has always been the case. It's not new. It's far from new. We just started to paying attention to it. And I'm sure you give it a week or two, we'll accept another distraction. And this is what the problem is. We don't keep score. We must stop being dizzy and dead in the head and allowing yourself to be distracted. That's why they gave us smartphones, so they could dumb you down. Matter of fact, you could dumb yourself down out of your own pocket. And this makes it easier for them to do stuff they're never going to stop doing. I ask people, and I'm asking your audience right now, please don't convince me that you're one who's shocked when you find out foxes eat chickens. Please don't, because it makes you look like a bigger dummy than they said you were. These are the same people who wouldn't allow you to read a book. Do you think these are different people? This is the next generation of the same people. They've never cared about you. What I ask us to do is, this is going to be insane. I need y'all to take a second, and I'm going to say this slowly. What if, just for shits and giggles, what if we decided to turn our love inward and simply love ourselves? I know that's crazy as heck, ain't it? But you better do it. This is the only hope you have. Nobody on the planet gives a darn about us. And I want to use another word, but I'm trying to be nice. Nobody on the planet cares about us. That's why they killed Michael Jackson. He said it out loud. All I'm trying to say is that they don't give a damn about us. The question is, why don't you give a damn about yourself?
All right,
I'm
now.
Stay woke, damn it. Please, stay woke. Stop sleeping at the wheel. We got stuff to do.
Ashe. Thank you, my brother.
Ashe,
all right, now. All right, family, let's go to, looks like Brother Ray Ray got something else he wants to share with us. Let's go back to Brother Ray Ray. Hold on, Brother Ray Ray, let me open you back up. There you go. Hey, Brother Ray Ray.
Sister Polite? Okay.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Well, that's you really don't know, even though they ask you, do you want to sign a paper when something like that happens? But I always go back to the time a friend of mine needed a liver. And he was on the waiting list. And basically, the doctor told him on the side, if you could come up with this amount of money, you ain't gotta, you don't have to wait that long. In the same way... they take parts off of cars in the junkyard. They're doing it with body parts. They have medical sciences. You could take somebody else's liver, kidney, and if it matches up, you could get a kidney. And my friend got a kidney, a new kidney, and they give you, through medical science, you have to take the medication for the rest of your life, and your body accepts the kidney or the liver. But sometimes it doesn't work, because when my brother-in-law got his liver, the body didn't accept the foreign object.
Right, right.
And then somebody else would get a liver transplant, or and his body will accept the liver through the medication. So it's what they do, and then the medication you take for the rest of your life for your body to accept the organ. So they constantly need it, man. They need it from black. They need it from black folks. And I'm sorry to say, ain't all white folks participating in this organ game. There's some black folks participating in this organ game too.
I'll text it to you.
That's
right.
It's black folks in India. It's black folks in Africa. It's Arabs. It's a lot of people who are participating in the organ game. Just like the catalytic converters, where they're stealing them all over the place, where they're cutting them out of cars like it ain't no tomorrow. Because somebody's asking for them. Somebody's asking for these catalytic converters, and they're worth a lot of money. Of course,
right.
It's a metal inside. It's a, from what I understand, it's a platinum inside of the cat converter, and they cutting them out of cars like it ain't no tomorrow. But they never go after people behind that's asking for them. So the organ game is big business.
It's been big business for a while. Yeah, it was kind of like, but now it's like right in your face.
Now,
I mean,
now,
to
right
hear
in
that
they
report.
They snatch you off the street.
Oh, my God.
They snatch you off the street. You become
and
missing.
Like Brother New World was saying, you know, we have heard for years about, you know, homeless people, that this was happening with homeless
people.
They disappeared.
You never see them no more.
That's right. Yep. But now it's like... Again, this dude was talking about he collects oddities. You hear me?
Exactly.
Like you know, like artifacts. He collects oddities.
Now let's get back to this. With this COVID scamdemic, do you know how many body parts that they done kept? The thousands of bodies that allegedly was supposed to have died from COVID.
Right.
After they take right. that body, I don't care what you sign. I don't care what you
wow.
sign with, they ain't taking them. They taking them. Of course, don't nobody know what happens after that.
Well, listen, Brother Ray Ray, we finally got
soon
Dr.
As my
George
sister, soon
Love.
As my, and soon as when my sister passed away from cirrhosis of the liver, dang, they pushed in our face to sign this paper for organ to help somebody else that might need a piece of this old beat up body. Just like an old beat up car go to the junkyard and the person in the junkyard takes the parts that's still reusable, the engine, the transmission, whatever, off that junk car. They take it and they store it so somebody else goes to that junkyard looking for a part, and if it comes off a late model car, they charge more money. So it's the same thing with the human body.
All right.
Bottom goddamn line,
we,
this man is selling it. And he ain't hiding. He's telling you he's selling it.
All right now. So listen, Brother Ray Ray, we finally got Dr. George Love. I see him in queue. So we're going to go into our health section or segment for tonight, but you are right on point as usual, you and Brother New World. We're going to talk more about this whole issue and how we can become a little more action-oriented in addressing it, because clearly it's only going to increase, particularly if we're not saying or doing anything about it. They're just going to, you know, increase it. So, Brother Ray, thank you much. I'm going to bring in Dr. George Love in a few minutes because we know we've been talking about health for quite a while. And so this brother that's getting ready to join us, of course, that is his area of expertise. And one of the things that we want to start doing is, and just like you just mentioned, Brother Ray Ray, a lot of folks are dealing with different types of medications. Not just for mental purposes, but for general usage of care of body. And so we've got to get out of some of that. So we're going to start bringing people on that can help us go through these transitions to a more healthier, more wellness-oriented kind of state of being, both mentally, spiritually, and, of course, physically. So, Brother Ray Ray, thank you much. And again, you know, want to make sure that folks know they can tune in on Wednesday. And if you, Brother Ray Ray, can you give your email address just in case folks might want to get the link? Can you give them your email address so that they tune in on Wednesday?
For the Baltimore for the Philly family, and
well, we got other people from other cities.
Right,
so
from everybody that's on throughout the country that's listening to Blog Talk Radio with Sister Empress Chi. My Brother Ray Ray, my email is csmith6528@aol.com. csmith6528@aol.com. If you email me your number or your email, I will forward the information to you every week. This week will be Brother Mike Graves. He's a regular with the Mackey's group, and his lectures is always on point. You can listen to all lectures from the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr., Mackey's to the Third lecture series on YouTube, and you can listen to all of the Community Cop lectures on YouTube, Community Cop. So just email me at csmith6528@AOL. You can send your phone number with it, and I will give you the information this week. Thank you very much. And thank you, Sister Clay.
Thank you, Brother Ray Ray. All right, family. So, again, that's our New York family in the house. And, you know, it's a blessing to be able to connect with similar and like minds as we do every week. You know, we're demonstrating, you know, unity because we stay connected. So, again, thank you, Brother Ray Ray.
All right, let's move on. We're getting ready to talk about health and family. Remember, you know, money, yeah, we definitely need it, particularly in a capitalistic society. You got to have the money or you know, the consequences are what they are. But when you don't deal with your health, surely you can have all the money in the world and it'll definitely help you. But I'm telling you, without some kind of optimizing of your health and well-being, it is not going to be as beneficial as you might think, at least in some situations. So what we're going to start doing is featuring on a weekly basis some kind of health-oriented dialogue, information, and so forth. But so to kick things off, again, you know, this is, of course, Sickle Cell Awareness Month, and we'll be talking more about that as we proceed in during the course of September. But for right now, we just want to deal with some basics. How can we be healthier? How can we have a better sense of wellness, a better sense of well-being? Well, we're getting ready to talk with Dr. George Love. And, yes, his name is actually Love, y'all. I've known him for years because he's actually from Philly, even though he lives in Florida. But he's going to be joining us in Philadelphia. He's going to do a full-day session when he comes to Philly, because one of the things that MWM is now preparing to do is to be able to have our own physicians or practitioners or what have you, so that our people in our communities, as we grow and develop, will have people that we're familiar with. We'll have people that can provide alternatives and some preliminary other kinds of things, so that possibly they can avoid having to deal with the system and getting cut on. Okay, so prevention is important, as well as finding alternatives to already existing ailments. So with that said, it's my pleasure to introduce all of you to Dr. George Xavier Love, who is going to be joining us again in Philly next month as a part of the MWM 25. We're going to be doing a whole month of activities, and next month will be our first annual natural hair, skin care, personal body care, and holistic healing session, expo. Okay, and we're focusing on natural products. So if folks are making their own products for hair and skin, this is going to be the place to come. So let me open up his mic. Hey, greetings, Dr. Love. How are you this evening?
Greetings and salutations, my dear brothers and sisters. How's everyone in Philadelphia and all across the country?
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So listen, I'm so glad to finally connect with you. We were having some miscommunications earlier, but we got you now, so it's a blessing. So before we go into, you know, some of what you're going to be talking about when you come to Philly, just share a little bit about you, you know, who you are, why you are, what inspired you to go into Oriental medicine?
Wow, that is a very long story. You got a couple hours. I'd be happy to share the whole thing. But I guess it started, I was going to the UN to do a Tai Chi class with my Tai Chi teacher, and I got on the wrong elevator and I ran into the Dalai Lama. And that set up a conversation, and he introduced me to his personal physician, Dr. Yeshe Dandan, and then I ended up in studying Tibetan medicine for a year. And then he got recalled to the refugee community in India, in Dharamsala, and then that led me to Montreal, Canada, and I enrolled in traditional Chinese medicine school in Montreal. And when I finished, I ended up in New York, and I went to Lincoln Hospital. I got a job treating drug addicts with ear acupuncture. And there I met everybody in the acupuncture world, because Lincoln Hospital was the only hospital-based acupuncture program in the country in 1981. Mm-hmm. So several months later, I find out that Mutulu Shakur had actually started that program and had been accused of masterminding some bank robbery, which, of course, he had nothing to do with. And so the FBI came in and shut that complete program down. So when I moved to Harlem and opened up my first clinic, I was under the mistaken impression I was the first black acupuncturist, not knowing that there was at least 50 black acupuncturists before me who had all been arrested. Mm-hmm. So I literally stepped into a vacuum, and I went on the radio. I went on Manhattan cable television, and I blew up. I had the largest holistic center in all of New York, and that lasted for a few years. And then my Qigong master's granddaughter came to visit from China. And a few months later, I realized she was going to inherit his business, not me. And I thought I had done all this work and built this huge clinic that I was going to inherit, and that wasn't going to be the case. So I just bailed out and moved to Florida and started from zero. 4 years later, he calls me on the phone and says, oh, the granddaughter got killed in a car accident. His wife had a stroke and was in a nursing home. And could I please come back to New York and help him with the clinic? And I said, oh, Master Lee, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. And he says, I'm going to die in 90 days. And I'm like, what? So I cancel all my patients. I fly to New York. Okay, Master Lee, what's going on? And it turned out that he was suffering from injuries that he got while being beaten and tortured during the Cultural Revolution in China in the 90s. And he never shared this with me. And I'm like, you were in prison for 8 years? I was like, wow. So literally within 90 days, he was dead. And he transferred his family lineage of everything he knew directly to me. So within those 90 days, I became a Taoist priest. He turned me on to things that most people have no clue about. So that's kind of sort of what made me. And that was 1994. And I've been the master of the lineage since then. I now have 16 students underneath me, so I'm grandmaster. So I'm the first black acupuncturist in the state of Florida. I'm the first black Chinese grandmaster of Qigong in the world. So that's the final version.
All right. Now, and again, family, you know, it's good to be able to, as we say, connect the black dots so that, you know, you have a insight into some of the fundamentals when it comes to Oriental medicine. Obviously, Dr. Love is certainly qualified in that aspect of medicine. And this is an area of medicine, as he mentioned, that Dr. Mutulu Shakur did introduce to many, you see. And by the way, we are still, you know, a part of working for a compassionate release for him. And so every week we're going to talk, you know, we're going to say that and suggest that everybody go to the website, drmutulushakur.com, to sign on to the petition for compassionate release. As Dr. Love just mentioned, I would dare say 90%, if not more, of folks who are of African descent that are acupuncturists today either study directly from Dr. Mutulu Shakur or from a student of Dr. Mutulu Shakur. So, again, we would be remiss if we did not, you know, do everything possible to get him released. Okay, moving right along. So, wow. So now, let me, I don't even know where to go now with all of that. I got to figure out. Wow. That's a lot. So why is it important that we begin to look at alternatives to Western, I don't even want to call it medicine, to be honest with you, to the Western approach to addressing maladies / illnesses? Why is it important that we look at some alternatives?
Okay, so I don't want to use the word alternative.
Okay.
We would rather flip that statement around and say, why is it important that we look at traditional medicine first?
Okay, cool.
Because we are confused, misled, and miseducated in believing that conventional medicine is the right way. So let's start off by saying conventional medicine started in 1888.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when they started washing their hands before surgery. Thank you for laughing. That's what I feel like. That's exactly what I feel like. They used to use the same medical instruments on every patient, no antisepsis at all, the same bloody sheets, the same bloody bandages from one person to the next.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't until 1888 that they like, oh, maybe since we believe in the so-called germ theory, which is incorrect, maybe we're passing germs. So let's go all the way back. All right. So there, you cannot separate health from spirit. So if you think you're a spiritual being, if you believe you're a spiritual being, which you are, then you can't separate health from that. So what we say is, the first cause of illness, no matter what it is disconnection from spirit. So if you don't believe that you're a spirit, then you automatically disconnect. Then the next thing is emotions. And then you allow emotions to distract you. So when you're angry, your muscles contract, which prevent blood from flowing. If you're resentful, if you're blaming, shaming, if you're guilty, or if you're guilting other people, frustration, resentment, all these things cause the heart to become disordered. So when I say disordered, what does that mean? That means rapid heartbeat. So your heart speeds up, it slows down, it speeds up, it slows down. Now, if that happens once a week, not a problem. If that happens 10 times a day, that's a problem. So our emotions trigger a disruption in the heart rate and blood pressure. And then over time, that becomes consistent high blood pressure. Then the next thing after emotions is energy. Now, energy is sleep and activity. So 50% of Americans have some type of sleep disorder. They don't get enough sleep. They get poor quality sleep. They eat and go straight to bed, which means the blood, instead of circulating through the body, is stuck in the stomach trying to digest food. Then there is exercise. Then there is sex. So we need exercise and we need sex. So, yes, guys go away to sea. They die early. Soldiers join the army. They die early. So, yes, you can live. You can live to be 50 or even 55 and not have sex. But you need sex. You need that connection with another person. If you take an ant from the anthill or you take a bee from the beehive, they're not going to survive. So there's eight different things that either cause a good energy or cause a disruption in energy. And then comes nutrition. Then comes nutrition. And then there is the meat suit that we call the flesh. And then there's the musculoskeletal system, which is the hanger that the meat suit hangs on. So there's 12 different aspects of our health. And if you neglect one of the 12, then you're going to shorten your life. So health is not something you can figure out. Health typically was passed down from grandparents to grandchildren. And so when a colonial enslaver comes in and you can disrupt a culture in one generation, it doesn't take 100 years to destroy a culture. You can destroy a culture in 20 years. And we can look back and say, oh, I guess they did that. So we have to go and discover how to recreate our spiritual health, our emotional health, our energetic health, and our physical health. So fortunately, I've dedicated my life, the last 40 years of my life, to finding out how to make that a reality. So as soon as I opened my office in Harlem, the brothers came to me and they said, you know, that Chinese medicine, yeah, that's cool and all, bro, but what's up with the African medicine? And I was like, I don't know. So they kept coming to me with like, how come you don't know about African medicine? And I'm like, okay, I guess I better find out. So as luck would have it, a brother walks into my clinic. He says, he doesn't tell me he has malaria. He just says, I'm feeling sick. I'm traveling. I called my friend. They told me to go see Dr. Love. So I treat the brother, and he's like, oh, I left my wallet in the cab. I'm so sorry. I'm going to come back tomorrow, and I'll pay you. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, brother. Get out of my office. So next morning, he shows up again. I give him another treatment, and then he's like, oh, my God, I must have left it in the hotel. And I'm like, thank you, brother. You just confirmed that African people are not to be trusted. Goodbye. 3 weeks later, this brother shows up again. He gives me a plane ticket round trip to Togo, which is in West Africa. And cash, double cash, for the two treatments that he got. He said, you cured my malaria. I said, you didn't say you had malaria. He said, I know. I didn't want to scare you. I said, brother, I live in Harlem. What do you mean? Who's going to scare me from Harlem? You gotta be kidding me, right? So next thing you know, I'm on a plane to Togo. I never heard of Togo. I heard of Ghana, and Senegal, and Benin, but Togo, not in my awareness. So I go to Togo. They put me up in a 5-star hotel. And then they said, oh, we're going to take you to see Dirchback Okwete. So now, you know, we're on this dirt road in a cab going out to meet Dirchback Okwete. He doesn't show up for 4 hours. So my brother and his friends, they are tripping that Dirchback should be here. I don't know why Dirchback should be here. Oh, we should have sons of it. I'm like, brother, I'm in Africa for the first time. I'm as happy as I can be. I am so chill. He could come tomorrow. I'm still going to be okay. So Dirtbag finally shows up, and we just lock eyes, and we click. No words. I'm like, that's my brother. So I have to extend my ticket twice to continue studying African shamanism from Brother Dirtbag Okwete. And as luck would have it, the American Psychoanalytic Association invites him to be a speaker at their annual conference. So he flies into New York, calls me on the phone. Now I got to fly from New York to L.A. to be his handler while he's in L.A. And then I realized that these white boys are taking shamanism seriously. I'm stunned because I don't know anything about shamanism. I don't know that what we saw witch doctors in Tarzan movies were actually shamans. So now I'm beginning to see the connection between some African-American belief systems and African shamanism and Chinese medicine. So now I'm getting the first clue that African and Chinese spiritual medicine is one and the same. So next thing I know, pick up a book on medical instruments from Tibet. So I'm looking at these, I'm looking at this medical textbook, and I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. The very next year, I go to Kemet. This is 1994. I go to Kemet. I go to Egypt, and I go to a temple called Komombu. And there's a group of 12 of us on this trip. So Dr. Patricia Newton is leading this trip. And Asa Hilliard was her mentor, and he had just died. And he had been doing this trip for like 28 years. He had been taking people to Kemet for 28 years. And so it was her first trip as a group leader, because she was always one of the students. So she was like over the top, above and beyond, teaching us everything we could while we're in Kemet. So there's this brother, 6 foot something, I mean, it had to be over 6 foot four, all dressed in white with a white turban. And he and I lock eyes, and he whispers, "Follow me." And I'm looking at the group, and he's going the opposite direction. I'm looking at the group. I'm like, I'm going to go with this brother. So I follow him down the hall. He takes out a key, and I'm talking about one of those big-ass keys that you see in the movie. And he opens up this giant door, and he takes me into a room. It says, "No video allowed. Employees only." And so now I know I'm in some place that the public is never going to see. And he takes me over, and he shows me acupuncture pins, gold and silver, in a case. I'm tripping. And he's showing me these surgical instruments, surgery. They were doing brain surgery, heart surgery, and eye surgery in ancient Egypt. I am totally tripping. So after about 20 minutes, I realized I got to get back to the group. So we go back to the group. Then our next stop is the Cairo Museum. So now I'm full of questions on what I saw at the Komombu Temple. And they're like, "Acupuncture? We don't know anything about that." I'm like, "Well, what about the surgical instruments?" And like, "We don't know what they're used for. We know they use them, but we don't know what they're for." And now I'm really upset. Why are they lying at the Cairo Museum? So then we go up to like the fifth floor, the top floor of the museum, and there's this hallway with the lights out. And I'm like, why does the museum have a hallway with the lights out? So I walk down the hallway, and it's all black pharaohs.
all black statues. And I'm like, these suckers, turn the lights out so nobody will go even see that the rulers of ancient Egypt were black. They focus on the four or five pictures or busts of white rulers, white pharaohs, but they don't show none of the black pharaohs. So now my brain is like, these suckers are lying. So now I get back to New York, and I have the pictures that I took, and I compared them to the Tibetan medical instruments, and they were identical.
Oh.
So now my brain is saying, how does Egyptian medical tools end up in Tibet? That's about as far away as you can possibly get. So now I got to go to Sheikh Anta Diop, and I got to read his works and learn how the Greeks took ancient Egyptian medicine to China, and the Persians took ancient Egyptian medicine to India, and the Romans took it to Turkey, which at the time they called Byzantium, and the capital was Constantinople, and then from there it went to Afghanistan, and from Afghanistan it went to Tibet. And then in the 9th century, the Tibetans held a medical contest inviting the Chinese, the Hindus, the Muslims to Tibet to share their medical knowledge. And then they wrote a book called The Four Treatises that we call Tibetan medicine that is actually Egyptian medicine. So out of Egypt, all over the known world, and then from Tibet back, from all over the world back into Tibet, and they reconglomerated it. So the principles of ancient Egypt are the same exact principles of Tibetan medicine. So I just discovered that in 2013, which is exactly 10 years ago. So for the last 10 years, I've made PowerPoints, I've made animations, I travel to anyone who's willing to listen that ancient Egyptian medicine is not dead. It still exists, and I'm here to show it to you. So Imhotep is credited with writing the first medical textbook. So I've managed to get a copy of the translation of all of the medical texts. I also got a chance to translate the first volume of the 10 volumes of the Persian Hanum, which in Europe they call the Canon of Medicine, which is the basis of Western medicine. So I completely tied the loop. So that's what I'm here to share with you and our family all across the country.
All right, I say. So family, as we have conveyed, for the month of, for the year of 2023, MWN is going to be hitting the road. We're going to kick it off here in Philly starting in October, but then we are planning to come to other cities. And so, of course, with that said, some of the people that we'll be featuring in October, we will also be bringing into the cities that want us to bring those particular programs into those cities. So we are bringing the Black Print Agenda 25, and that means by the end of 2025, we look to see some real results, some real kinds of things that we are accomplishing. So we'll tell you more about that very soon. We're going to be introducing it again come next month for our 25-year anniversary. Right now, we're talking with Dr. George Love, and y'all got to love him because, I mean, what can we say? All of that, connecting those black dots in that kind of way, keeping the tradition of our ancestors and bringing it forward to share with the masses of our people. So you have to remember, MWM is committed like
those, you know, several who have come before us, and Dr. Love mentioned Cenk Atdhejobe and others. And by the way, we're going to be bringing Cenk Atdhejobe's grandson on our program soon. I've been knowing Njaga for years. He is a reggae artist, along with 50 other things, but that's one of his major loves. But he's going to be joining us soon to kick off some of our concerts, our Black Human Rights concerts. So we'll tell you about that later. But at any rate, Dr. Love's going to be coming to Philly in October. We're doing a full day of natural hair, skin, and personal body care. But Dr. Love is going to do a full day of training or pre-training, okay? So let's talk a little bit about that, Dr. Love. What are you going to be bringing to Philly as a introduction? And again, family, we'll be prepared to come to your city. We're coming to Newark, New York, Atlanta, Baltimore, D.C. Those are some of the cities that we're planning to bring, you know, different events into your city as a part of the MWM Universal Movement. Okay, so, Dr. Love, what when you come to Philly, what's going to be happening for that day? Because it's a full day of presentation.
It's
tell us a little
full
about
day.
That. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about is food and herbs and detoxification and purification. That's one topic. Food, herb, detox, purification. And we call that nourishing energy. The second topic we're going to cover is sleep, sex, meditation. The same brain biology that helps us go to sleep is the same brain biology that makes us connect with our partners. And it's the same brain biology that's used in meditation. So the parts of the brain that are active in sex, sleep, and meditation are identical. And that is called sleepitation. Then the third thing we're going to discuss is chip plus app equals OS. Your childhood programming plus your attitude, perspective, and perception equals your operating system. Your operating system is, your operating system should be unconditional love of self and others, but you know what your operating system is. So we're going to discuss where you are and how you can plot a course to where you want to get to, and we call that spiritual alchemy. Then the next thing is emotional balance. So anger, fear, sadness, loneliness, grief, there's seven deadly emotions. There's three poisons, three parasites, and there's all these negative psychological frames that we developed out of defense to living in a country that's hostile to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've built all these defense mechanisms up. So we're going to learn about emotional balance, how to deal with someone who triggers us, and how to, like, decompress. When we feel aggressed upon, microaggression or actual aggression. And sometimes that comes from our own families. So, again, we're not going to go in depth, but we're going to give you enough information for you to go, maybe I need to write some stuff down. And then the last aspect of what we're going to talk about is physical health. For that, we do something called Qi dance. Qi is the electromagnetic energy that circulates through your body like blood flows through the veins. So you ever look at somebody and they look like they're trying to fall asleep? Their Qi is low. And then you look at your friend, and he's like sitting on a on firecrackers, and he's jumping around. And you're like, okay, what got into you, dude? And he's like, I don't know. I feel so good. I got to do something. That person is full of chi. Now, hopefully, we want to be a little bit less than that, but not like where we want to fall asleep. So I teach people five chi dance movements. We're going to dance. We're going to have fun with this. All of this is fun, by the way. You are not going to be sitting there taking notes. I'm going to engage you. I'm going to connect the dots for you because I'm going to ask you what you already know, and that's our starting point. So I'm only going to take you as far as you're willing to fly. I'm not going to take you down a rabbit hole and you say, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not going there. I'm going to be in the room with you on eye level. I'm not going to be up on the stage talking down. We're all going to do this together. So there's five topics that we're going to cover, and there'll be plenty of time for Q&A. And then those who want to go deeper, then we'll connect and we'll find a way to go deeper. And those who have specific problems or questions that wants to remain private, we'll set up a time where you can do a private consult.
All right. All right. Wonderful. All right, family. Well, y'all heard it. I mean, we get ready to do this, obviously, and do it in such a way that it really, really is going to be able to address some of these things that we've been talking about for quite some time, and others have too, but again, we are now being extremely proactive. So let's do this. Let's take a few minutes and go to the live line and talk to some of you all. You've got a comment or a question for Dr. Love, then we're going to open up the lines for you. And so get ready for that, because I know there's got to be a whole bunch of things that you want to be asking about. But again, you need to be gearing up to come to Philly. If you're not in Philly, certainly, because I know we got quite a few folks in from New York listening in tonight. You're only 2 hours away, roughly. But listen, let's open up the lines and let's see what we've got here. Okay, caller, you're at 9324. 9324, your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
I'm still open?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes,
how was you doing? All right. All right.
I had no idea.
Okay.
Heck yeah. I've been here the whole time enjoying the heck out of it. You, what he does is necessary for, let's just use the ankh, for instance, for our eternity. Good health from our own perspective is a necessity. Plus, that is good sense.
That's right.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Yes. So keep up the good work, big brother. You are priceless. Keep up the good work. We need you, and in the words of Michael Jackson, I'll be there.
All right.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you,
brother.
New world.
That.
All right.
Thank you,
and, you know,
for all of the blessings.
And speaking of that, Dr. Love, you know, at some point we got to talk more about this because Brother New World is, of course, a veteran. And many of our veterans that have come home, particularly from, you know, not as much from maybe the more recent war, but definitely from some of the previous wars, I mean, they really have gone through a lot. And so at some point we got to talk, you know, about maybe something that's particularly geared to them, you know, be it post, you know, I was going to say post-slavery syndrome, post-traumatic slavery syndrome. But, you know, we're going to at some point have to look at what we can do to be for more assistance to some of our veterans, you know, because they are really a forgotten entity amongst our people. And then given the fact that Dr. Motul Shakur, of course, was a veteran, you know, it would really tie in honoring him, too.
I think that every aspect of our community needs help. But
oh,
I
no
think
doubt.
Particularly, I think particularly the 9 to 11-year-olds are the most impressionable, and I think if we can target that group, I think that would go a long way to creating new ancestors. Because they're going to take it further. I doubt that I will see what I want in my lifetime.
Right.
Everyone's heard of Bodhidharma, the guy who taught Shaolin. It wasn't
until
the sixth patriarch that Shaolin martial arts took off. So there were the sixth patriarch is what made it world famous.
Right.
Those first five guys, they had to go deep. They couldn't go wide. They had to go deep. So, yes, we definitely need to help the veterans, and we definitely need to help the pregnant women, and we need to help the young mothers. And, you know, everybody needs help.
Thank you.
If we want to target a particular group, it's got to be the 9 to 11-year-olds. If we can just influence them to look in a different direction, you know, because these people that are running this country – are using entertainment as a distraction. You know? And while we're watching TV movies, TV serials, season 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, while we're watching that, they are grinding out how to enslave everybody, not just us. They're going after everybody. They're contaminating the air. They're contaminating the water, the soil, they're contaminating the food, they're contaminating the containers that the food is in, they're contaminating politics with their corruption. I don't need to go on, but we have to figure out boot camp. So I have the boot camp that deals with all of that.
All right.
And that's what we're going to do.
Okay. Well, you know, I feel really kind of, well, no, not kind of, I feel very blessed because one of the roles that I'll be playing or participating in some of this is raising the bar. And what I mean by that is you're absolutely correct, Dr. Love, in that we have to kind of target or not target, we have to look at, as a mother, I'm always thinking about the youth. That's just like an automatic thought. That's just automatic. So my mode of thinking is just always there anyway. But what I'm realizing is that when you are in a state of war, which we are in, we have to look at maximizing everything, particularly now because we're under such severe attack. So In focusing on being holistic, what I've learned to do is I'm ambidextrous. I wasn't born that way. I forced myself to become ambidextrous because I recognize that being in a society of this nature, I better learn how to use both of my hands as close to equally as possible. So I'm saying that based on the circumstances, we have had to adjust to the situation that is actual. So for me, you know, we have to do things simultaneously, and that's where I come in at. That's why my name is Chi, Chi Onesu. Okay, that is actually my name too. So I'm saying we have to now function in connecting these things together in such a way where certain things are operating all at the same time, you see, in this day and age. We're in a new millennium, or at least that's what it's being called. So with that said, we have to look at upping the ante in such a way where we're doing things simultaneously. We're doing things on a multifaceted kind of level. Because other than that, the way this world is moving and things are moving, if we just focus on one thing, we'll be, like you just said, Dr. Love, it'll really be like six generations. And we can't afford that. Not right now. We cannot
afford to
wait
six generations.
We can't. No, indeedy. We cannot afford that one. It would be
we're the world's biggest guinea pig.
Yeah, but the point is we've got to advance now in such a way that we know surely we're not going to see what we want to see in our lifetime, but what we better make sure that we do is put stuff in place in such a way that those next generations are not starting from scratch. Because that's what happened with these past two generations. We had the Honorable Marcus Garvey 100 years ago. And then after that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and a few others. And then here you got today people talking like that never even existed. Because we did not institutionalize certain things to the degree of necessity. See, mm-hmm. We have no schools. We have no, like, we have no real health facilities in most cities that are independent. We have
that's
no cultural
right.
centers. Right. We have no cultural centers that are independent. They're all getting grants.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so, yeah, but we got to recognize what's really going on and move forward. So anyway, so thank you, Brother New World. And listen, you know, we're going to do this thing, bottom line.
Ain't nobody
right,
coming to
say so. Let me say one more thing to the brother. Because you are a veteran, I'm a veteran too, by the way. I was in the Navy from 69 to 71. And,
what's up, fellow Swabby?
Say it again.
I said, what's up, fellow Swabby?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Hey, you mean a Swabby.
I was definitely a Swabby, that's for sure.
I know.
But this is
but
what I want to say. What I have discovered, unfortunately, with young people today, and when I say young people, I mean anybody under 40, they have no discipline. That's what we learned in the military. And what we have to do, the veterans have to do, is teach discipline to the youth.
And integrity.
So I don't care. And integrity. That's correct.
Without
integrity
a doubt.
And discipline.
Yes, sir.
All right. And when I distinctly remember that, when I was in the military, I could trust any brother, whether I knew him or not, to have my back. We would lock eyes, we'd give the dap, and I didn't have to know his whole history. I didn't have to know where he grew up, but I knew that he had my back. And when I got out of the military and I came back to the hood in West Philly, there was none of that. There was
that
would
be
none of
not
that.
Now.
That was the end. So this is what the veterans need to go into the community and teach: discipline and integrity. Be your word.
Manhood training.
And look out. Look out for the community.
Manhood training is an essential.
There you go. Manhood training. I like that. Or another kind of boot camp. Boot camp for under 18-year-olds.
Rites of passage.
There you go, rites of passage.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, this is something when we do our brothers' session, this is something that we call them serious black men, and not just S-E-R-I-O-U-S, but S-I-R, the serious black men. All right, family, right. Listen, we got a lot of work ahead of us, and we're ready for it, so... Hey, moving right along. Thank you, Brother New World.
My
All
pleasure.
Right. Let me check back in. Let me check back in and see. Let me see if Brother Ray Ray wanted to say something real quick before we get ready to close out. I see he's still in queue. And let me just check. Brother Ray Ray, did you have a question or a comment for Dr. Love?
Oh, no, he's definitely on point because you did say acupuncture, right?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, that's the key. The body has pressure, acupressure points all over it. In your hands, in your head, and they could put those acupressures all over, and then they put the cups on. You put the cups on them,
the hot cups on the skin too.
Mm-hmm.
I do that every day.
Yeah.
And see, I think it's important that we point out again with Dr. Matula Shakur. He was very instrumental, and Dr. Love mentioned the Lincoln Health Facility there in New York. They used to be there in New York. It was Dr. Matula Shakur that introduced using acupuncture to help get folks off of heroin.
They still
we have to make
it.
Sure people – yeah, but I'm saying he was
that,
the one.
We need to make that known. We definitely need
That's
to make
right.
that known.
He was the one that
yeah, they
brought
still
that
do
in
it
like
in,
that.
When you go into detoxes, they give you
ear acupuncture. And
acupuncture,
what we started with the 5-point protocol, and
right.
What we're trying to do now is teach brothers
right.
the 5-point ear protocol.
Right.
That are not medical people. They're just people who want to stop drugs in their neighborhood.
Right.
And there's a Dr. Kakai out of D.C. who is literally
right.
teaching people the 5-point ear protocol. If they can demonstrate that they are community leaders and they're working to end drug addiction in their neighborhood.
And see,
that's what we want to bring.
Yes. That's what we want to bring to Philly and other cities.
Now let me ask you, they also have I actually have a machine upstairs. It's an electrode acupressure where the battery in there and they have a chart of all the acupressure points. But it's the same as acupuncture. Points of the body, but this little gadget sends the electrodes, and you can actually feel it in the acupuncture points. I have one. Yeah.
I've been doing this, brother. I graduated from acupuncture school in 1981. That's a long time.
Because they have one on 14th. They have one on 14th Street. I think it's 8th Avenue.
The school. 14th Street, 8th Avenue. Oh, the school, yeah.
The school, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it's 8th Avenue, yeah. So you're on point
yep.
with it.
Yep, and that's what we want to do, Brother Ray Ray. We want to have it in our communities where it's accessible, where we're training our own people to be able to do these things in our community. See, the one thing that COVID showed us is it showed us just how vulnerable we really are. Like we didn't know it, but it put it right in our faces, how vulnerable we really are. So what we're going to be doing starting next month is some basic things in our making sure that people who are in our cadre, that they know CPR, that they know basic first aid. This is going to be a requirement to be hanging with us on a certain level.
Right.
See, we got to do these things. You know, and again, we're not trying to force anybody to do anything. It's for those who want to or feel the need to. Since my area of expertise is sisters, I'm going to be really encouraging sisters to at least learn CPR and a few basic, kinds of first aid things. Because a lot of the women have children. And so if you
right,
have to
right.
call for the ambulance or somebody, what do you do in the meantime while you're waiting for them to come? You see, we got to be more responsible now. Because like Brother New World said, ain't nobody going to save us but us, for real. You heard earlier that the sister had, I don't know if you heard, Dr. Love, we played a clip earlier where a young woman, a black woman, 23 years of age, was having a mental a situation that she apparently had, you know, before, and her parents called the police thinking that they would come and, you know, take her so that she could get treatment because she, you know, gone through these episodes before. Well, they didn't do that, and she ended up dead, you see.
Yeah.
So we got to stop thinking that folks are going to help us. We got to try to figure some of this stuff out ourselves. And we know it's not always easy to do that, but we got to put forth greater effort. So I just, you know, just wanted to put that little sidebar out there. All right, family, listen. Dr. George Love, again, will be joining us in Philly next month on October the 8th. We'll be doing a whole day of holistic kinds of health healing, all kinds of things, skin, hair, and then, of course, the full-day session that will be a prelude for additional classes and other things that people will be able to get certification for. Now, that's a process, but for those who are interested, we have the instructors now who will be able to provide folks with being able to provide services to their families and communities. This is serious stuff for those who are interested. Okay, so it's different levels that people can participate in and so forth. So, you know, get in where you fit in so no one will be alienated. There'll be something for everyone. Trust me, you'll see. So, okay, so thank you, Brother Ray Ray. So, okay, listen, we get ready to close out. Again, if you want more information, we got one more time for one more caller, because I don't want to mix anybody out. We're going to take one more call, and then we're going to close out. Caller, you are at 9462. Your mic is open.
Greetings.
9462. Greetings.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. This is Elder Mama Condi. I could not let this one go by and not greet my brother here and all of you having this discussion. What he's doing, I love the doing part. That's the part that impresses me. You want to impress me? Do the work. And I appreciate you and I love you for that. Always feel like when brothers and sisters stand on the shoulders of the elders and the ancestors and the work that we do, it makes our living not be in vain. As Sister Filet can tell you, my work in terms of health has been with delivering babies at home for black people. I won't do it for anybody else. Immunizations homeopathically and herbally. Education, African-centered K-12 with our own curriculums. Mm-hmm. My work has been with mental health. My work has been with Interia, which is what it's called in ancient Kemet. It's not sex, because that just means break apart. It's not fuck, because that's instruction to a horse. It's neck Interia. And just like you're using the acupuncture with as a part of that healing process, lovemaking is also a part of that healing process. And there are places on the clitoris, on the penis, that correspond with our organs. And we just have to get back to being Africans. Because once we do that, we'll get through all of this and everything. Right now, it just looks real impossible. And that's because every time white people inhale, we think our lungs swell with air. They don't. We have to breathe like we know we're black. I thank you for being patient with me and giving me the time. That's my humble summary of solutions for Black people's problems. And again, I thank you, my brother, for what you're doing. Keep doing. If I can be of service in any way, I trust
you. Thank you so much, my sister. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, make it soon, because I'm elder now. So I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here, but I will continue to do what I do until I'm on another plane. I yield.
Well, my sister, I have not only the longevity program, but I have the immortality program. And I want you to know that you're already immortal because you brought so many children through into the manifestation of life. You're already immortal.
Wow.
So I want to thank you for that.
I'm always so proud of the fact that I have 5 incarnations of positive karma. So mortality is a concept that I grasp. I thank you.
All right now. All right, family. So listen, we're going to close this session out. It's been another wonderful one, needless to say. Appreciate y'all much, your comments, your thoughts, etc. And listen, we'll be back next week, same time. Y'all know we're in our 13th year. So, you know, we're going to now get ready to go into YouTube mode and some other kind of modes to upgrade some things. So feel free to make that donation. I want to thank Brother Ray Ray and others who do support our work. Brother New World, always boots on the ground, Brother Yao and so many others. We thank you all for all that you do. And especially my son, y'all. He's really my son all across the board, the S-O-N and the S-U-N. He's shining real bright, believe me. So y'all will be seeing him a lot more, too. At any rate, we're going to move forward, and we're going to get ready to close this session out. We're going to leave you, as we oftentimes greet you, in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there could never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly, now note, I didn't just say justice. I said Ma'atic justice. That's the kind of justice that we have to obtain. Truth, justice, reciprocity, honor, balance, law, righteousness, those elements combined makes the kind of justice that we now must strive for, and in doing so become reparatory, repaired. With that said, what we say, family, if there's no justice, Ma'atic justice, that is, there's no what, Mama Condi? Got the love?
No
peace.
No
peace.
You got that right.
All right, family. Listen, we're going to close out. We want to again remind you, please go to Dr. Mutulu Shakur's website. There's information there. It'll only take you 5 minutes, if that long, to sign on to the petition there or the information there, you know, requesting a compassionate release. I forgot to mention Mumia. Mumia's papers, many of Mumia's papers have now been submitted or obtained, rather, by Brown University. They're doing a very in-depth research piece on incarceration based on a lot of Mumia's writings, articles. They also have some of his personal effects. So we'll be having Sister Pam on soon to talk more about that. This is major, and this will also lend to getting more information circulated about Mumia in hopes of getting him freed. His next trial date or next hearing date is October the 19th. So we'll keep you posted on that leading up to that. We're also working on the Mumia Abdul-Jamal School of Journalism. That's an MWM project. We talked to Mumia a few months ago about it, and he agreed to work on a correspondence course for us
for those who are interested in, you know, in learning more about being a journalist, an investigative reporter, or just a better writer, period. And, of course, we will be doing the work that needs to be done in helping to get him freed as well. So until next week, we love you all. We thank you all. And you know what we say, promote you to the Shinda. Together, we shall win. Thank you, Dr. Love. I'm looking forward to you coming to Philly and building, I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but we're going to have some kind of health, holistic health facility services available for our people. Right now, family, again, if you have products or you know someone that has natural products either for the hair, skin, personal body care, MWM, the M4 group, is ready to become a distributor for your products. We talk about self-determination, and we've got the backup plan to put it in place. Kwanzaa's coming, so y'all know that's a good time for marketing. Give us a call or send us an email, nationalmwm at AOL.com, nationalmwm at AOL.com. Any kind of natural product, we want to market it for you. You can also text us at 267-636-3802. And by the way, again, donations are welcome, and they can be sent to Cash App, $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. My son created that, y'all. You know why? He's born on 11/11. All right, family. Listen, talk to you next week. And again, moving forward, as it said, onward forever, backwards never. Talk to you next week. Peace out. Thank you, Mama Condi.
Because Shinda, yeah, I speak to you soon.